Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Memorial Day, May 28th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and Charlie Klein will be my co-host. Here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, it is all about duty, honor, and country. Today's show is going to be a special tribute since it's Memorial Day. We're going to talk about what Memorial Day really means. We're going to show respect and honor and appreciation for those who have given so much, who have sacrificed so much for our liberties and our freedom. We need to really, really remember what Memorial Day is all about, and we'll get into that discussion. Tom Pastore is going to be joining us here shortly. He's going to talk about Memorial Day. We're going to discuss some of the things that he's been doing to try to get people to remember what Memorial Day is all about. He's been somewhat frustrated, like many of us, of the disrespect. It's like when you talk about Memorial Day, especially to younger people, what are they thinking about? Oh, that means we're going to go to the beach. We're going to go have a barbecue. We're going to, you know, they totally forget what it's really about. So we're going to have today's show is a tribute to those who have died and those who continue to fight and put their life on the line for us every day, and talk about what the real meaning of Memorial Day is and why we need to focus on what it means, especially in the times we face right now. Our country is facing so many crises, so many risks, and Americans need to be engaged and understand what's really going on and to be willing to take action. We need to help those who put their life on the line every day. We need to do our part on the homeland to be engaged in the process, to protect our rights, to stand up for these rights, and that's what Memorial Day represents. The other thing, too, just as a quick update, just to tell you some things that are coming up, we have on Wednesday, we're going to be having Take Back America, this Memorial Day update. Now, many of you know, and on last Thursday's show, we launched a campaign that was officially going to start on Memorial Day today, getting every American engaged in this process, saying it's time to start following the Constitution. We've got Bruce Olson. He will be on Wednesday's show. He's going to give us an update. He's the one who's been coordinating the biggest part of the campaign and how we have to take action to send a notice. There's two notices. Send a notice to Congress, to the 112th Congress, and demand that they follow the Constitution. That's all we're asking them to do. Our demand is pretty simple. Follow the Constitution. Isn't that what your job is? Follow the Constitution? Then you take a sworn oath to follow the Constitution. And we did this on Memorial Day because, you know, here all these people have died protecting our freedoms, which are guaranteed to us under that Constitution, while we have people in public office who totally disregard it. That's too much trouble for them. They took a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution, but that really, you know, that's too much trouble. Most of them are totally ignorant of the Constitution, which is really sad. When we have people in Washington, D.C., and in the state offices as well, state and local, who have no clue what the Constitution is. So there's two letters, one to Congress and also one to your state. And we've got to get the state involved, too. Well, we need for them to honor the Constitution. And that's why we started this on Memorial Day. We appreciate all those who have died protecting this Constitution. Now we have to get those who are the elected public servants to do the same. And we are the people who must force them to do it. We must demand they do this. It is up to us. So we want every American out there to contact Congress and to contact their state and local governments and the FBI, and say it's time to follow the Constitution. We are failing here, and our country is failing because we don't honor our Constitution. So that's we're going to have a full update on Wednesday's show, and it's at 9:30 p.m. instead of 7. We do it at 9:30 because we want to make sure we get everybody in on the West Coast as well. And Bruce Olson, he's actually in Arizona. Visit his website, thearizonasentinel.com, to learn more about the campaign. And so that we have it as a special time at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. And then Thursday is also going to be an exciting show. It's going to be our first interview with a GO candidate. For those of you who are not familiar with GO, it's G-O-O-O-H.com, GO. It's getoutofourhouse.com. GO is a new process that Tim Cox founded to help citizens of a district select who they want to be their candidate. Instead of having a political party tell you who the candidate's going to be and keeping the incumbents in there for 20, 30, 40 years and whatever, this is a process for the citizens of a congressional district to meet with individuals, vet them on their own, ask them what they stand for, have an agreement with them of what they believe, and also agree to term limits, and then select a person to represent their district in the primary. And on the Thursday show, we're going to have Byron Donalds. He has been selected, I believe it's District 14. I'll have to check the district, make sure I don't mistake that. But he is going to be our first GO candidate that we're going to interview on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to ask him the tough questions. We've warned him, you come here, we're going to ask you the tough questions. We're going to ask you about the Patriot Act. We're going to ask you about Agenda 21. We're going to ask you about immigration. So it's going to be a good show, so please tune into that as well. One other thing, getting back to Memorial Day, and I say Tom Pastore should be joining us here momentarily, and I'm going to wait for him to get into this other thing, but I just kind of want to let you know today, we want to also give a special thank you to the commissioners of Seminole County, the Board of Commissioners of Seminole County, Florida. They actually have a proclamation honoring today. It's declaring May 28th, 2012 as National Moment of Remembrance, Participation Day in honor of Memorial Day. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail when Tom gets on the show here. He had been working with the local county commissioners and some other groups to take back Memorial Day for what it's supposed to be. It's not about buying a mattress on sale. It's not about frying or grilling hamburgers and a barbecue. It's not about summer and party time. It's about honoring those who have fallen. So we will get into a little bit more of a discussion there. And on that note, I want to go ahead and bring Charlie into the discussion and see what's going on with Charlie today. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing this Memorial Day? And thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Sally. I'm doing just fine today. We had a wonderful service honoring those who died for this country and for our freedoms at the American Legion Post 286 in Pine Castle. And it was very, very moving. It lasted about a good 20 minutes. And it was well attended. And then naturally we had a barbecue after that. And so naturally I bought myself a slab of ribs.
But well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as you actually did take the time to remember what it was about.
Oh, definitely. No, I mean, the service, they had one last year, too. And I missed the other ones because I was usually out of town. But they do a very good job of honoring our troops. And they're always looking for ways to do something to help the troops out, such as our Texas Hold'em tournaments. And for those who live in the Orlando area, Post 286 holds the Texas Hold'em tournament every so often. You'd have to contact the post to find out when the next one's going to be. We're having one on the 2nd of June, which is next Saturday, and it starts usually registration about 12 noon, but you can call a post and find out the exact time. And it's a fun thing, but it also gets you where you can eventually get enough skills to where you might be able, when you go to Las Vegas or to any casino in this country that has Texas Hold'em, you won't feel like you are a complete amateur. You will at least have some idea of the game. And it's fun because the entry fee is not that expensive, and it does go for a good cause because it is being held in a tax-exempt organization. There are certain restrictions that must be followed, so a minimum of 50% of the money goes to a charity, and then the others can be used for expenses and that. But generally, from what my experience with Post 286 is, the troops come first, and then the bills come later. And they are really good about that. But there is a prize fund, too, for the people who are involved in it or who pay the entry fee and all, because That's the only way you can get people to do it. They want to have a chance on doing something, and it's all good for this great country of ours. But anyway, getting back to what you said about our Constitution, let me add my 2 cents to it. It might turn out to be 5 cents or more.
I was going to say, it's going to be much more than 2 cents. Probably, we'll probably get up to a dollar, but that's okay.
Anyway, the Constitution was written by our founding fathers for the protection of we the people from the tyrants that we may wind up electing into office, or from tyrants that may infiltrate our elected positions and try to change our form of government and our way of life to what they think may be a better way to do things, and do it without the permission of the people, such as going from a capitalist world to a socialist government. We the people have not been given the chance or the opportunity to be properly instructed by the media as to the difference between the two. They just seem to be pushing socialism on us, probably in hopes that we will accept it and then forever be endeared to the powers to be. Because that's what socialism is, controlling the people. And that is where our founding fathers differ. They wanted we the people to be a free society where we can go ahead and go into business, make our money, make our riches, and it remains mostly in our pockets and not in the pockets of those who are elected to represent us. Everything in this Constitution and our founding documents was inspired by God through God's Bible, because 52 of the 56 founding fathers were believed in God or were devout Christians. And God stands for honesty and integrity. Therefore, everything about America was honesty and integrity. And the one thing that our founding fathers did was they developed the Constitution to protect us from those who are corrupt or those who become devil's advocates. And that is where I believe Congress and most of our elected officials have turned into devil's advocates for themselves, by themselves, and in the best interest of their friends and themselves. Because now you can't even talk to a congressman unless you make a big donation to their campaign. It was never intended to be a money game, because in the days of the founding fathers, the whole concept was an elected official would report to Washington for one day a year and then go back to their farms to work at their farms or in their business. Now we have full-time people working in Washington for 108 days out of the year, and the other 140 they spend playing or campaigning at taxpayers' expense. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not in the Constitution of the United States. So why do we need people to get involved with these movements that Sally was talking about at the ArizonaSentinel.com and AmericanStatesman.org? Is we must take back our country. And we take it back to honor those who died for our freedoms, because unfortunately we the people have allowed the corrupt, the dishonest, and what I call the devil's advocates, the majority of who are elected officials, to violate the honest intent of our Constitution. And the only way you restore it back to its honesty is by getting involved and making sure that your elected officials know that you are coming after them peacefully. And that is what we are doing. This is not an insurrection. This is going to be a peaceful restoration of the people's rights as afforded to them by the Constitution. And those who have done all the wrongs to us had better start planning on turning state's evidence in favor of we the people. Because if we find something wrong, and we find that they have been laundering money to their family members and their friends and their relatives and their business partners, then that will be lying to the federal government of America, which happens to be we the people. Now, isn't that a nice thought? So, ladies and gentlemen, you can sit there and enjoy Memorial Day, honoring those who died for our freedoms. And now that you have heard what Sally and I have said, you can start making plans to get involved in restoring the honest intent of our Constitution that was designed to protect you and yours and everybody in America from the tyrants that we have elected into office and who have turned against us. And when I mean turning against us, there is nothing in the Constitution that gives Congress the right to vote for $10 million in an earmark to be given to a congressman and that congressman's family so that they can go into business and then bankrupt it and not have to pay us back. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows Congress to give Selinger $538 million and then allow them to bankrupt it, bankrupt our money and walk away from it, and also giving their higher-ups, their corporate officials and all that, bonuses for a failing company. There is also nothing in the Constitution that says we the people must pay the bonuses of those on Wall Street and in the banking industry. None of that is in the Constitution, and none of that has anything to do with interstate or intrastate commerce. All that is interstate and intrastate bribery of the rich for the future votes of those who are employed by those people. So, ladies and gentlemen, your work
that,
is cut
that
out
isn't what
them.
People died for. That isn't what our troops died for.
No, our troops did not die for this corruption, this dishonesty, and this violation of the Constitution, and the violation of our tax dollars. The IRS will come after you in a heartbeat if you don't file a tax return. How come the IRS isn't going after Congress for their exceptional riches that they gain from being elected to office? We need to find out how many years they've been in there and compare their yearly income with what they have gained in wealth. Because if it's $170,000 a year now, times 10 is $1.7 million in 10 years.
Well,
if they are,
I'll tell you, I mean, that's the part that's so disgusting. You know, here we are on Memorial Day, and, I mean, I've heard a couple of different things, you know, the politicians, I don't call them representatives anymore because they don't really represent anybody. They talk about, you know, honoring those who have sacrificed. And I'm like, how can you say that with a straight face when you're destroying the Constitution, you're stealing and robbing the people blind? You are, these people are so hypocritical. It just disgusts me to listen to these same people who are robbing us blind act like they respect those who died for us while they're the ones destroying the country.
Right. Well, remember one thing. There is no honor among thieves. So then how can there be honor in our elected officials, especially when those who say they don't thieve are still in there witnessing it and not bringing it to the attention of the media? And if the media is on the side of the thieves because they get a lot of business, then the media is just as unpatriotic as are those that we elect to office. But all of this can come to an end when people start going into the ArizonaSentinel.com. And do it fast, ladies and gentlemen, because The powers to be may be are probably already looking at ways to diffuse it, but we have gotten it out to so many people that it should be going viral in a very short time. Just like We the People versus the ballot box establishment. This is a complaint filed with the FBI on May the 4th, and it has a lot to do with going after those who we suspect are in violation of the Constitution. Because when the Constitution is violated by those who are sworn to uphold it, it has to be nothing less than a felony, which means immediate removal from office and removal of all benefits and privileges of an elected official. And we have that right here in Central Florida. We the people said no to a rail system on 3 times, and the county commissioners overrule and says your vote don't count. We're going to get you that rail system even though you don't want it, so that they could get $150 million of taxpayers' money for CSX to build another rail yard. That is not interstate commerce, ladies and gentlemen. That is bribery, collusion, dishonesty, and as far as I am concerned, total corruption, and therefore a violation of the rights of we the people. The true government of America is its citizens. According to the dictionary and according to the Constitution of the United States, we just have to now do what we should have done many years ago, is go after those who have violated our trust. And if anybody tries to claim, statute of limitations, we just found this out right now when we went in and saw the bill that said 2/3 of the filing fee for a Republican or Democrat who is not the chosen one will go to the party so that it can help the party. There's nothing in the Constitution of the United States that says we the people are to support the parties in any way, shape, or form. It is, if we have separation of church and state, like the ACLU keeps pounding on us, then we have separation of state and party. Because we the people don't want to pay for the party. If the party wants to hold their own election, let them pay for it 100%. Let the party also pay for the use of Air Force One and all of the military or government aircraft for campaigns, not the people. The party can pay for it. So that is something else that we intend to add to our complaint. And, ladies and gentlemen, this complaint is getting recognized across the country. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it doesn't start getting filed in other states after they edit it to their needs. Okay, Sally.
Okay, well, one thing I want to mention, you make reference to public officials, and I call them public servants. That's what they're supposed to be, servants. And there was something I came across, and this was Thomas Jefferson. It's actually a photo of Thomas Jefferson with a caption on it. The government is the servant, not the master of the people. Isn't that interesting to talk? Yeah.
Who was that?
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson
was a good old guy. I like him. And George Washington.
What president was he now? The third or fourth?
Somewhere in there, yep.
Somewhere in there, okay. We know George Washington is the first one, and George Washington did not like parties. George Washington predicted that if the people join parties, the parties will separate the people. And if you look at it, ladies and gentlemen, George Washington was exactly right, because right now you have a divided country because of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. They have divided the populace, but the governing officials of the two parties are united in effort to steal from the divided people. And that was what they have been doing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, George Washington is a lot smarter than a lot of the people we have elected to office, as is Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Madison, and all of those people who signed the Constitution of the United States, because they were statesmen, ladies and gentlemen, thinking about the next generations, not the next election. In fact, George Washington didn't even want to run for president. He was against it. They talked him into it. Quite interesting, isn't it? How men of wealth want more wealth, and men in power want to get rich off of those who are elected into office. It is really something how the greedy get greedier. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2012, it has to come to an end. And what we are doing now at the ArizonaSentinel.com and at AmericanStatesman.org, we are going to take action to go after those who are corrupt and dishonest. And the Constitution gives us that right to do it. And if we don't find an attorney who is willing to back us up, Sally and I have already had compliments on our We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. When people come up and ask us who is our attorney,
excuse me for just a second there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a caller who had just called in. I was just getting ready to go to you, and it looks like you dropped off. So please call back in. We want to hear what you got to say. And also, for everybody else out there, 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be put on, placed on the air. When you press 1, that tells us you have a comment you want to share with us. Excuse me, and I was just getting ready to go to another person who was in the 407 area code. That's Orlando here, Central Florida. So please call back if you get a chance. I'm sorry I meant to get to you a little bit faster there. And also, Jefferson was the third. I was thinking third or fourth, too. Third, just to confirm it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
They just called back.
Good.
They
put them on.
They just called back in, so let's go ahead and go to the caller. The last four digits are 5716. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Sally, this is Nathan. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, thanks. I thought that was you out there, and I thought, oh, I'll get him back on.
Yeah. I didn't know. I seen it was 7:30, and I was wondering if you had a guest, and I know you start at 7:30. So I hung up. I didn't want to overlap you. But I was just listening to Charlie do his rant, and it got me thinking about some of my therapy. Something I agree with you 100%, Charlie. The problem with the two-party system is it is not in the Constitution. And you know what? It's the people that vote for the politicians in the primary, and at the end of the day on the general election, the way we know it, we know the election at the end of the day, we know who the president's going to be. We know who, but you know what? On the president, there's still another round of elections. It doesn't get certified again, you know, not just then. There's another round. What people need to do is they need to read the Constitution. They need to read Section 2. Article 2, they need to read the 12th, and they need to read the 24th. But what they need to do is they don't need to read it. They need to let somebody else read it and listen to the words that comes out of their mouth. And you know, we're living by what we've been taught. And when we read the Constitution, we don't notice it. But something that I'm doing right now, I've been negotiating with some of the religious leaders in the country. James Dobson, Jim Daly, Ralph Reed, Tony Perkins, they keep talking about, and they're reaching the religious community, okay, and they're being very deceptive. They're saying we can't have four more years of Obama, but you need to vote your value system. You need to vote your value system. And when you ask them, well, who are you endorsing? Well, we don't endorse any candidates. And I've been calling every one of them a liar because they endorsed Mitt Romney in 08. Now they're saying they can't endorse candidates because of their 501c3. And I'm asking them, why did you endorse them, openly endorse them in 08? Now you're hiding behind the 501c3. What we need to do, if you're going to teach your the Christian community something, you need to expose them to every candidate that's running for president, because you do not give them much of a choice when you say anybody but Obama and there's nobody else but Romney. You just endorse Romney. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've been working on for some time now. And, you know, God bless these guys for the work that they have done in the Christian community and in the issues that face our country. But you know what? All that is down the drain if they don't have resolve. And I think what the problem is these men, in the process of trying to have an effect on legislation that is good for the family and good for people's moral values, you know, they, in the process, they've gotten joined up with politicians. I don't know what they're getting out of it, but you know, I got a lady that's given me an opportunity, and I'm not a writer, but she said she'll give me an opportunity. If I write a letter, she'll do a press release on it to go into every media, every kind of media in the country. So I told her what I'm going to do is probably write an open letter to Mike Huckabee and Jim Daly, who just did an interview with Mike Huckabee, and they did that. Well, we can't afford four more years of Obama. Well, I want to hear about Mitt Romney's gay issues. I want to hear about his abortion issues that are supposed to be the issues that they're promoting as values among the Christian community. You know, it is time. It is time to stop playing games. We don't have time.
That's a very good point, too. And, you know, this is the games that get played in the politics. It's not about doing the right thing. And this is what it's very frustrating to me when various Christian organizations that, you know, are definitely preaching values and honor and honesty and these kind of things, and yet they play these kind of games in the system, too. And, in fact, they get converted into one of the sheeple of the parties as well in the process.
Well, what I've been sharing with them is the church, and I think God's on my side on this one. The church has been about 25 to 35 years behind the issues our country has faced, the social issues. So what they did is the church sat on its butt, okay? So these parachurch ministries had to spring up to start reaching these needs because they're getting and ministering to these needs because they're getting out of control. And in the process of doing these parachurch ministries, thank God for them doing what the church wouldn't do, starting mainly back in the 60s and 70s. And now in the process of these parachurch ministries trying to change legislation to be family-friendly and marriage-friendly and you know, I agree with all that. But you know what? They've become a part of the political tapestry, if you could say it that way, and they need, if they're going to be ministering to the needs, the social needs, they don't need to be looking to the Republican Party, because if you think about it, every election, and this was from the Great Depression up, the GOP from the Great Depression up till now, keeps bringing the same issues back up. Education at a federal level, the Democrats make it a federal level. The Republicans yell, no, 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 that's a state's issue, but they never once have they challenged these issues back to the states. And we're talking school vouchers, school choice, the secure the border, no amnesty. You just keep naming the issues. Jim DeMint and Phyllis Schlafly just recently said, We need to get out of the UNC treaty and get do away with this Agenda 21 policy. They came up with this idea right before the election, and that triggered my memory to right before the 2010. They gave us a pledge to America that they have not fulfilled one point of it, and they're not talking about it now. Okay, I remember in 2006, whenever W went down to the border and did a, because everybody was screaming from 9/11 up, secure the border. So he goes down and right before the election in 06, and he does a border speech about defense, and he talks about the cameras, and he talks about these drones that's going to be patrolling it. And then after the election in 06, they voted not to defund it. And then we spent 06 and 07 burning the phone lines up and over Mel Martinez leading the pack on amnesty. And it was Republicans we burned the phones up to drag them back over to the other side of the aisle, because we know what the Democrats want. But it was the Republicans that we were burning the phones up for. Okay, and then I remember in the 2000 razor thin, George Bush promised a marriage amendment. Then after the, before the election, and then after the election, he goes, "Oh, that's a states issue," and the people went across the states. And I can name several other issues that he mentioned that drops off the radar. And we can just, you can keep going all the way back, all the way back. And since the Great Depression up till now, there's only been two people that understood what was going on in the Republican Party. That was Joseph McCarthy. And whenever he stood up and started rooting out the communists, none of the Republicans stood up beside him and said, yeah, what he said. They let him stand there alone, and they let him get attacked alone. And then when Reagan came in, Reagan understood the communists, and he commanded great respect, so much respect that even Ted Kennedy wouldn't challenge him publicly. He went to the Kremlin and to give him information to fight against Reagan. But when Reagan left, guess what? W gets in there and keeps right on marching with the United Nations. So you know what? The Republican Party is not conservative. They have not given me my goodies. You know, they keep putting the same set pacifiers that ain't got milk in our mouth. And I would never vote for any of these people. And that's just what's on my heart.
Well, and what we're seeing right now today is with the Republican Party, how they if you're a true conservative/constitutionalist, the limited government and truly following the letter of the law with the Constitution, there's only one candidate out there that you can follow, and that's Ron Paul. And the Republican Party has done everything it can to trash Ron Paul, to ignore him, the media being right there, the media being controlled by the parties. And, I mean, there's something, and this is where the FCC stuff that we've been talking about, too, comes in. The media has failed to serve the public interest. When the media lies to the public, when they falsely report and lie to the public, they are not serving the public interest. To falsify information or to fail to report it intentionally is against the public interest. And so that's a whole other deal. We've talked a little bit about that. But, I mean, there can be no greater disgrace. And it's all because they're afraid of the Constitution. Ron Paul has wanted out of the UN for years. He has never believed in Agenda 21. He does not believe in NDAA with the garbage in there about government being able to retain people. And the Patriot Act, he's always been against that. These other politicians, Mitt Romney, he's all in favor of those kind of things.
Well, this is what I'm saying, Sally, to these Christian leaders and their organizations. You want to educate people on their value system. There's close to 30 people running for office. I'm not going to claim any endorsement. I have not picked anybody yet. But I promise you this, if I pick somebody and they don't make it, I'm not going to jump over to the next one. When my man loses, then I'm out of that race. I'll write my name in it. But there's a lady, and I'm trying to find out more about her, but there's a talk show host called Dr. Lori Roth in Washington State. She's a national talk show host. She's just not strong in the South. But one thing I've noticed about her, she's running, and I'm trying to learn more about her, but I've noticed that so far the people that are endorsing her are coming out of the security and the intelligence community. Dr. Jerome Corsi's endorsed her, and there's the campaign manager. He comes out of the security community. You know, so I don't know what that means. you know, but she's definitely got not necessarily the famous names behind her, but these people are professional at what they do. These are the people that understand the threat against this country as far as security, our foreign enemies. You know,
well,
they
foreign
that.
And domestic enemies. I mean, we really truly have to be talking foreign and domestic enemies from what is destroying us from within.
Well, you see,
I still maintain that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, see, the domestic enemies is here from the Great Depression up, and they've been in the Republican Party, and this is the problem. And when the Republicans lost, and they were an honorable party from the Civil War up, but I still am against the parties. I believe if you want to be a party, that's fine. But you know what? I have a right to participate in the primaries to vote for anybody that is running. And not only the party that I choose to be a part of, I can go shopping. And then after the general, there's another election, and that's the electors vote for the president. Then the electors vote for the vice president. And then that's when it gets certified. Unless there's a need for another election because they can't, you know, get the right number. But this mess of the Republican and Democrat Party has complete control of the election process, and then they want to yell to me, well, I want to get back to constitutional government. They've never known what constitution government, and no. They need to go jump in a lake. I will never vote for any of these people because my life would depend on it. And it will probably depend on it anyway. But no, these people are fools. They are just they're oppressing the people. But that's all I wanted to say. That's what's going on in my life right now.
Okay, well, thank you as always, Nathan. It's always good for you to chime in. We appreciate your info. I assume you're going to continue listening. So do you want
yes,
me
I
just
am.
To okay? Let
okay.
Me go ahead.
Nathan, one question.
Yeah.
Yep.
You are going to email those emails that we sent you regarding the ArizonaSentinel.com movement, right?
Yes. I'm going to email them out. Everybody in the GOP in every state will get one.
Good for you.
Excellent.
Sally, if you want the list, I can send it to you.
Send it to both of us.
I'll do it. I'll do it right now as soon as I hang up. But, anything, I'm sending them anything bad about Mitt Romney, like this is what I'm saying. You want to find out who Mitt Romney is? Go through Obama's czars. Start with the health care czar and find out how many of his czars was Mitt Romney's age. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Don't tell me about how bad Obama is, and then Mitt Romney's all we got. No, Mitt Romney can jump in a lake. I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of being talked to like a slave. Okay, if you don't vote, if you vote for a third party or you sit it out, that's a vote for Obama. Where'd they learn to do math? What kind of math is that? If I don't vote for either one of these fools, neither one of them got my vote. That's one vote
right.
Both of them didn't get.
And if none of them vote for the third party or the third president, like, you know, Ron Paul, he could wind up getting more votes than the other two.
Well, you know, Ron Paul is stronger than they're letting everybody know. And the reason is we don't have a free press. We do not have a free press. We have a Republican
Ooh.
And Democrat media.
Well, let me tell you something, Nathan. We got some nice information on that.
Yeah,
99-390.
Let me write that down. 99-390.
FCC 99-390.
Well, you do know that Mitt Romney owns 49% of Clear Channel, and it's a private investor company, which means Mitt Romney is the senior. He's the guy that writes the checks. Now, what Clear Channel means is Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, all these people, all of these major talk show hosts work for Mitt Romney. And this is something that happened, and I don't know if you paid attention to this here on WDBO, but here locally, we lost Savage and Rusty Humphreys in November. Rusty Humphreys was on 134 stations nationwide. He got dropped from 59 of them. He lost 59 stations. Michael Savage is on 229, and in November he lost 98 of those stations. That's why 97% of those who voted for the president in the primary here in Florida recently, 97% did not vote for Mitt Romney, and he won Florida except for the panhandle. Okay? So you know, this is not an election. There is no fair election here. All these hosts that got, like Savage and Humphreys, they got moved out. They got replaced with Mitt, foaming at the Mitt, at the mouth Mitt supporters, and these people over here at DBO, they know my view on it. I cannot trust anything they say. I can only study it. And now Bud has no soul, man. He has no soul. He won't talk about Mitt Romney's record. He'll just throw a little token. Well, I got my problems with Mitt, and then go back to pounding Obama. But the problem is Obama's more conservative than Mitt Romney. I want you to look up John Holdren. That guy works for Mitt Romney. Okay, he works for Obama. He don't even have to clean his desk out if Romney wins. You look up John Holdren and tell me, do you want that man anywhere near you or your family? No. Mitt Romney, I'm going to say it, he's an evil man.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to say it.
Well, and the other fact is, and people don't want to talk about this because, you know, the politically correct and all the other garbage that goes on is the Mormon faith, its core doctrine is based off of Islam.
Well,
and Mitt Romney is very loyal to his faith.
Listen, Sally, one thing I try hard to do is not attack a person's religion, because most people that are in a religion were born in it or they got converted in it, and they don't even know really what their own faith. So it's easy to offend people, but I'm going to go out on a limb here, okay? Most people don't know about Mormon faith was founded on the same premise as the Muslims. You know, the reason they didn't let blacks in, and they've never changed their doctrine, they just started allowing, but they never got that revelation from God that says that blacks can't be a part of it. Just like in the Quran, it says, you know, the blacks are accursed. Okay, but yet all of a sudden the ones in America that are hurt, they'll reach out to them and let them convert to Islam because they're tools. Okay, it's the same thing. I wish people would study the founding. I'll give you a good example. Did you know after the Civil War, the next major military campaign in America was one-third of the United States Army was dispatched against the Mormon Church because the Mormon Church was doing what the Muslims are doing right now. Okay, and you know, it's hard to tell people this because we got two generations of people that don't have a church upbringing, and the ones that do, they're locked into their what they believe, and they haven't studied other religions, and I try hard not to challenge people's religions because most people get offended and they don't know, they're just uneducated on it. But that's I'll throw that in there, but I will continue to attack these people on their political records. And Mitt Romney is less conservative. He's more over there with Ted Kennedy than Obama.
That's why he was able to ever get elected to Massachusetts. It's well known that Massachusetts is one of the most liberal states in the country, and you were not going to be a governor there being
And you know, we keep hearing about the amnesty thing and the borders and secure the border. Nobody will talk about this. Mitt Romney's a dual citizen of Mexico. He's a dual citizenship with Mexico. So what now you understand why we can't ask about Obama's birth certificate? Because if we start asking for people's birth certificate to determine if they're eligible, there you go. Mitt Romney's dad, George Romney, ran for president and lost in the primaries to Nixon. He was not allowed to do that. He came from Mexico. He wasn't allowed to do that. But the Republican Party, you know, they got a good old boy thing going, so they just kind of drop some of that stuff. And something on this border security thing, you know, nobody's asking the question, just like with Sarah Palin and her two sanctuary cities. Mitt Romney has three in his state, and sanctuary cities is not something these people inherited from the governor before them. These are their cities. They established them. You know, so if you're getting your news from talk radio, yeah, meh.
Sheeple.
You know, this here is why the Republican Party had to hijack the Tea Party, and that's why we got this group like the campaign to defeat Barack Obama. All they're doing is campaigning for Republicans. That's got fingerprints, Republicans, got Sal Russo's fingerprints all over it. And now we got this Americans for Prosperity group that's got the fingerprints of the Republican Party on. They come into these local Tea Party groups. They give you a little seminar on how to take back our country and how to get on the Internet and send stuff around and how to call. And then at the end they start saying, anybody but Obama, and they start passing out their Obama stickers. You know, I mean Romney mm-hmm. stickers. You know, it's like no. I got them on my mailing list too. I guess they need to get. They need to hear about it. I'll send you that list so y'all can send them stuff on Romney. But you know, these people. See this. The Republican Party is dividing the vote. They're splitting the vote because 40% of the registered voters are now independent, and guess what? There's an independent group of independents, the ladies out of New York. They've already got the laws changed in 26 states. They're moving across the state, and I promise you in this next election, these independents, okay, don't say that they're going to split the vote. No. Republican Party is the minority, you know, so they can keep... What Romney needs to do is he needs to hire Acorn so they can get some dead people voting for him.
Well,
you know, that's the only way he's going to get in there.
Well, so. I have a feeling, Nathan, that there's going to be a dark horse coming in, a third party or just an independent or a no-party affiliate who is going to jump in there at the right time. And it could be at the Republican.
You know, I don't really care about a third party because, you know, all the Republicans can jump over there and act like they're and still dilute it. This is what I understand, okay? I don't care about parties. Everybody party can put their candidate out there.
Right.
This is what I understand. There is no parties in the Constitution. There's
no,
nothing
there aren't.
Related to party.
No,
and
isn't.
George Washington, and the question of the day is, could George Washington get elected today? He was a no-party affiliate, and he strongly opposed and was against the parties.
But the reason is there is no parties in the Constitution. And listen to this, this Electoral College that isn't in the Constitution. I got a question for you, Sally, Charlie. How is it that the Electoral College benefits the Republican and Democrat Party, but it doesn't... The Green Party,
the
Libertarians, all these other, there's probably 100 or more parties out there. Why do all these other parties don't get any benefit from the Electoral College or the independent no-party affiliate? Why doesn't he benefit from the Electoral College? You know why? Because the Republican and Democrat Party is a government agency. They're locked into the government. They are the government.
They are in collusion with the legislators of our federal government, and that is a total violation of we the people's rights. They are all guilty of violating the trust of the people. And now is the time to go after them because I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who is elected who voted for the $10 million to go in Pennsylvania or voted for anything like Solyndra and didn't fight to get the money back for we the people, they to me are involved with Solyndra, and that is bribery, and that is a violation of the laws of the United States of America and of the rights to and of the constitutional rights of we the people, because they gained our trust. And our trust means that when you spend our money, you better do so properly, because we did not give you an open checkbook to have fun with our money and to get rich on it.
And when those Republicans start telling you how they need your vote here in a few months, ask them one question. Since Obama's been in, can you name one thing you've won against Obama on?
That's right.
They haven't won one thing. Obama has won. You know why? Because they've done away, this is what they did. They did away with the Congress. This Super 12, that did away with the need for the politician, the same way the political, the the Electoral College did away with the people's vote.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And
they are circumvented.
Everything you guys are talking about is why we have the We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. And that's why right now we're focusing on getting the congressional representatives and so-called representatives and the state legislatures and the law enforcement to start demanding that they follow the Constitution. That's step one, and then this ballot box establishment going after them, it's all related. These are things we have to do to take back this country. And it's not what, here it is again, it's Memorial Day, and we're asking them to do their job. We're asking them to honor their oath of office. We're asking them to follow the Constitution, and that's what it's all about. And that's, and everything you guys are talking about is why this.
Before I go, I just want to remind you. You ever heard that thing? Perception is reality. No,
yeah.
Perception is behavior. And this is what this whole politically correct thing is. If they can change the definition or the meaning of something, it doesn't change the definition. The definition of a word is still has its definition and its origin. What they do is they change your behavior. Perception is behavior. They, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is leaning because the word Pisa means marshy land. And if you can change the definition of mud in people's minds, they might build their house right beside the Leaning Tower of Pisa because they'll be fools.
Right.
Good point.
I'm going to let you go.
Unfortunately,
God bless
it's way
you.
Too easy to
God bless you.
Okay. Well, thank you again. It's always good to hear from Nathan. I'll go ahead and put you back on the mute, and you can keep listening. And, okay, we're going to get back. Well, unfortunately, it looks like Tom is not going to be joining us tonight. I did speak with him earlier, and he wasn't feeling too good, but he was going to try to be on. So we'll go ahead and get back to some of the things we're going to talk about with Memorial Day. And I want to talk with some of the basic facts on this. You know, it's it was originally called Decoration Day. Many people don't know that. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who died in our nation's service. When I look at the Memorial Day history, and there's this website is called USAMemorialDay.org. You can go there to look at this. It's I never saw anything about mattresses being on sale. I never saw anything about a barbecue. I never read anything about a party or summer. It was all about those who died. And died in their nation's service, fighting for the nation. And, you know, it just it gets kind of frustrating at times, and this is what Tom Pastore was working so hard on, to get people of this, especially the younger generation, to start appreciating what this really means and to realize freedom isn't free. And there's no better time than what we are facing right now in this country to understand that we have got to defend our rights. Well, all these people died for our rights, and here we go squandering them off, letting these yahoos, morons, and public office do whatever they want to, ignore the Constitution, take away our rights, and we just stand here like a bunch of sheeple. And it's like it's not right. It's just not the thing to do. But going back again, the Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on May 5th of 1868 by General John Logan. He was a national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. So that was how it all began. There's various stories, myths, whatever you want to call it, many stories as to the actual beginning of like over 2,000 cities and towns claiming that they were the birthplace of Memorial Day. There was also evidence that a women's group in the South were the ones who actually formed it, and they did it by decorating the graves before the end of the Civil War. So there's a lot of history. It's all to do with those who fought and died for this country. And to think about a mattress sale on Memorial Day just is somewhat insulting to those who died. You know, to celebrate our freedom is one thing. To downgrade it to such materialistic, whatever you want to call it, superficial meaning, things like this is somewhat disgusting to me. And so we try to get people to re-engage in what it really means. And I don't know if you were noticing it, Charlie, but to me, I have noticed lately, you know, the last few days on the news, especially on the cable news stuff, they did seem to be emphasizing what Memorial Day was about.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe the message is getting out there, you know, in these times to remember it's not just about going out on the beach and having a party.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's. I'm kind of disappointed that Tom isn't going to be able to join us tonight, but I do want to go ahead and mention the Seminole County. And anybody who wants to talk about the history of Memorial Day, please feel free to do so. There's many other things. In fact, there was this one that I had put out there on the site. If I can, it was Mona Michael was the person who wrote this. We cherish too the poppy red that grows on the on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies. I thought that was kind of a Memorial Day poem.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of good and wanted to share that
right.
with you.
Yeah, we're just like the yeah.
Yes.
In the poppy sale, a lot of people just walk by the American Legion volunteers who go stand in front of Publix or Bass Pro Shop. And they have poppies for sale. And it's just a donation, you know. You put a quarter in, half a buck, a dollar in. But it all goes for our troops. Because when it gets back to the Legion puts it in a special fund, and it does go for the benefit of our troops, our wounded warriors. But so many people, because of the dumbing down of America by our elected, trusted officials, the dumbing down of America, such as here in the state of Florida, oh, let's make it easier for them to pass the FCAT test so that the schools get a better grade. Yeah, in other words, put somebody out who has a failing grade all through high school so that they can get somebody else in their seat the next time. So then when the person goes out there to try to get a job and they can't add 2 and 2 or 2 and 3 and they can't get a darn job, then what it is, they fall on the taxpayers. Everybody who's in office who has children and grandchildren coming have actually done them the biggest disservice of all mankind. You have hurt your own family because, I don't care how rich they are, they're going to suffer later on because they may not have it like you have it. Somebody's going to come along and take it away from them. And they're going to be worse off than you because of all of your taxes and your reckless spending. But getting back to Memorial Day, when our volunteers go out with the American Legion, the poppies represent and are in honor of those who died for our country. Buy one, make a donation, whatever you can afford, and proudly display it. Hang it from the mirror in your car. Put it in your hat, brim, or whatever. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time to show your patriotism, that you really love America, because over 1.1 million brave men and women died for your freedom, starting with the beginning of the wars in America, and especially over 450,000 brave men and women died in World War II. Against Germany and against Japan. And they're still dying in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places. Why? Because there are tyrants. And we have tyrants in our government. And we just have to curb them because the Constitution protects us from them. Get the Constitution and read it and study it. You can download it in your computer by going to heritagefoundation.com. Heritagefoundation.com. Very simple. Download it. And then read it and study it with your children. Because you do have to study it because it is written in such a nice manner and honest manner that everything in it, you can say the word honesty is in every sentence, in every paragraph of the concept of our founding documents. Because as I said at the beginning of the show, our founding fathers, 52 of the 56 believed in God and were devout Christians. Four were atheists who also believed in a strong moral standard for America. And that's why we are such a great country. We love our freedoms that were granted to us by God, and let no man or woman take them away from us. Back to you, Sally.
Well, and I'll tell you, I want to go ahead, you know, Memorial Day, getting back to, as we're saying, what it really truly means, and to try to get especially younger people to show respect for what it is. And I think that's even changing some with the younger people now because of the wars we've been in the last 12 years now, where they've known their friends who have been in the service and they've seen it a little bit more firsthand than what
right.
maybe they would have, what many of the baby boomers never had a clue about. Excuse me. So I think we are starting to get back to some appreciation for it. And I really, like I said, I've been happy to see the media focus a little bit more on what it truly means. And today, it's so critical today that all Americans understand that you have to fight for freedom. And you have to. The reason our country is in such turmoil as it is today is because the American people sat on the sidelines and they just voted for a D or an R. It's all they did. Totally brained into the process. Never went to a public hearing. Never got involved in what was going on locally. And just kept saying, well, you know, life is good, so let them do whatever they want, while they've nibbled away at our rights and truly, truly dishonoring. And we should be ashamed. We as a people should be ashamed of what we've allowed all these people to die for when we don't even do our part to protect our rights. That's why we've had this major campaign kick off to take back America this Memorial Day for the American people. To take it back. You know, the troops are out there doing their job. Our military is doing what they're supposed to do. It's time for us to do our job on the homeland, and it's just critical that people get involved. I want to go ahead and read the, once again, thank Seminole County, the Seminole County Board of County Commissioners. This is in Seminole County, Florida. Thank them for the proclamation they have done up, and I'm going to go ahead and read this and it's not too long, so hopefully I won't drive you too crazy, but I think it's important because this is what they did. I hope I'm driving you crazy with my reading, I should say. Proclamation of the Seminole County Board of County Commissioners, declaring May 28, 2012, as National Moment of Remembrance Participation Day in honor of Memorial Day. Whereas the history of this great country certifies that Memorial Day was officially proclaimed and first observed May 30th, 1868, with solemn gratitude, flowers were placed on each of the graves of all soldiers interred at Arlington National Cemetery, and, whereas for over 100 years, the sacred holiday has been observed all across the United States as a day to remember and honor our fallen soldiers, and, whereas in 1971, the observation of Memorial Day was changed by federal law from May 30th to the last Monday in May to promote and extend weekend, and whereas to reclaim the true meaning of Memorial Day and to pay tribute to our fallen heroes, in December 2000, Congress passed a resolution titled the National Moment of Remembrance Act. This act suggests that at 3 p.m. local time on each Memorial Day, all Americans voluntarily and informally observe a moment of silence, or listen to taps to personally reflect on our fallen heroes, and whereas the Seminole County Board of County Commissioners encourages the citizens of Seminole County to learn the true meaning of Memorial Day and to reverently participate in their own moment of silence on Memorial Day. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Seminole County, Florida, that we hereby proclaim May 28, 2012, as National Moment of Remembrance Participation Day in Seminole County in honor of Memorial Day. Read into the official records this 22nd day of May 2012. So that is what they did, and we have asked, or Tom was going to contact the commissioners and ask for them to come on the show, but due to not having enough notice here, we weren't able to get them on, but hopefully they will come on and that we can thank them in person for what they did, because I'm proud that they did this. It's nice to see a board of elected public servants actually step up to the plate and take time to think about what this means and to put it in the record. Tom Pastore also contacted the Orange County Board of County Commissioners here in Florida, and I'll let him tell you his experience next time he's on, but I can tell you for the most part they just ignored him. And, you know, they didn't want to be bothered, and he had requested time to speak in front of them to talk about it. They never acknowledged him, never gave him any kind of time on the agenda. And then when the Seminole County one came through, and actually when they did their proclamation, then Orange County was saying, well, you could have come in front of us or whatever. You know, just the craziness of Orange County government. But I don't want to spend Memorial Day talking about Orange County government. The main thing is thanking Seminole County Board of County Commissioners for doing this proclamation. It was the right thing to do, and I think it's really nice that they did this. So please, especially people in Florida, contact them and let them know. And anybody out there, you're more than welcome to contact the Seminole County Board of County Commissioners and thank them for their Memorial Day proclamation. We need to get
their
more
email?
People. Yes.
Do you have their email
have
address?
Email to me. Pardon me?
Do you have their phone number?
No, I did not go. I'm reading the proclamation. I don't know. I might have it in here someplace. Let's see if it's in here someplace. It was the information that I have here, the one commissioner who's listed, Dick Van Deer Wide, District 3. His number is, his office number is 407-665-7207. That's 407-665-7207. And it's his assistant who's on here, not his email address. So I would just give his office a call. 407-665-7207. Call the Seminole County Board of Commissioners, County Commissioners, and thank them for doing that. And also, contact your local county commissioner, city council, whatever, and tell them, you know, what about paying some attention? What about some patriotism here for this country instead of celebrating everything else but us? What about taking the time to actually put it in writing and take some action to promote patriotism in this country? Where in the past few years, it seems like it's almost a law against it. You know, you're not allowed to be a patriot anymore. Freedom of speech and those types of things.
And it would also be nice if the people would request that on Memorial Day be a day from, turn it into a blue Memorial Day. Since that is involving those who died for our freedoms, Memorial Day should be like Blue Sundays used to be back in the 40s. No store was open except for emergency purposes, such as drug stores might be open, but not every one of them. The bars would only sell 3-2 beer, but we could still keep the bars open. And convenience stores could stay open. But the major stores would all close, and it would be just what they call a Blue Monday or Blue Memorial Day where nobody's open. Sears and Penny's and all of them would stay closed, honoring our military, those who died for this country. And that includes all police officers, firemen, and all service employees, those who serve the people. And I think that would be a fantastic way to do it for next year, is to start the movement now. Let's have a Blue Memorial Day Monday. All stores, major stores, remain closed during that day. People can do their shopping on Saturday. They don't have to be open every Sunday and Monday. And that would also be nice to do for Veterans Day. And anything
well,
that has...
Before you go into that, Doreen, she's been putting some comments out in the chat room. And I totally agree with this one she's saying. So I'm going to go ahead and mention this. You know, because I totally agree, we should have a national moment of silence Let it be a day of rest, a day of mourning for the fallen. You know, truly take a day of silence. But as she had put out in the chat room, and she's correct, Walmart would go crazy. And that's, unfortunately, we have the society as a whole would just go absolutely crazy if they weren't trying to make money on the holiday.
The society would eventually, when they find out that in, say, the 1st of May, that all stores will be closed on Memorial Day, just like on Christmas Day, people will get used to it and they'll make plans around it. They'll go do their things. They'll plan for their barbecues in advance. They'll do all their shopping on Friday and Saturday, and they'll have the weekend off. People will adjust to it because we adjusted to it every Sunday. We knew that there are only certain places that were open, and you went to those places because we had one little convenience store that was open on Sundays. And that was in a small town. And that's what I'm saying, convenience stores with gas and that type of thing could stay open. But the major stores and malls would all close, and all the major gas stations where they have repair facilities and all this type of thing would stay closed. But people will adjust. And you just go ahead and say that, you know, this Memorial Day, nothing will be open. The Memorial Day weekend sales will end on Sunday. And then Monday everybody's off. And I think that would be a great way to do it for next year, because that is really something where people would start saying is, we are free because of those who gave up their lives for us.
Well, and I mean, we should go back to putting Memorial Day on the day it was supposed to be. But, you know, again, it was totally economical, political, whatever you want to call it, to go and make it Monday so that people had a three-day weekend. It wasn't about honoring them, the fallen, when they changed it to a Monday. That was all for economics, to make it a three-day weekend for people to go party on. It wasn't, you know, because if you're truly going to take the day off as to close and have a national moment of silence, you wouldn't care what day it was. You would do it on whatever day it landed on. Just like we don't move Christmas, you know. Why we shouldn't be moving Memorial Day either. So, I mean, I'm totally in support of doing that. And, you know, there's corporations, maybe Chick-fil-A and some corporations would actually do it to start promoting that, and then maybe it would get a little bit bigger.
Sure.
There'll never be a law passed, again, you know,
It can't be a law passed, but it could be something where it's a code of ethics type of thing where the people themselves say, yes, I am not going to go buying anything. I don't care what kind of a sale you have on Memorial Day. You can have that sale on Sunday. Or you can have it, not even on Sunday, have it on Saturday. It might do this country good to go ahead and have everything closed on Sundays and Mondays, or Sundays and holidays. I mean, that way, I mean, it's just one of those things that I can't see why they need to be open anyway.
I totally agree. I think it could happen, and maybe we're at a point where people are starting to appreciate and get a little bit more involved and appreciate what it means. I've been to the Arlington Cemetery, and I'll tell you, there's one of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and that thing in D.C. And, you know, you go there, and you just get a very weird sense of what it really means. You get a sense of how many people truly have died. And that's, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to close Arlington Cemetery on Memorial Day because that's what it's really about and those kind of things.
No, that's
but
no more.
We definitely could stop this commercialization of it. Stop making
stop
it a moneymaker versus,
right.
You know, we could do that. And one other thing I wanted to mention, this past week I had received an email from a group that typically gives some pretty good information, accurate information, and they were reporting that Starbucks had refused to support the troops and refused to send coffee to the troops, and they said they didn't support the war and they weren't going to support anybody in the war. Tom Pastore had contacted Starbucks and found out that that was not true, that apparently this was some kind of a game or whatever, that somebody else was playing, trying to trash Starbucks for some other reason. But I was told by Tom that that was not the case. So anybody excuse me, if you were stopping or just continuing to consume a Starbucks coffee on account of that, call them first and you can check for yourself and find out that that apparently was not the case. And they do support the troops. I don't know to what extent, but they don't refuse and that type of thing. So I just wanted to make sure people got that out there. And I'm sorry, Charlie, when we were talking, when I first cut in there, you were going to say something in reference to the veterans groups.
No.
Yeah, we were talking about the I cut in to say that Doreen had said about Walmart going crazy if we closed it, and you were actually getting into something else at that point. So, okay, sorry, I messed up your train of thought on that.
That's okay. That's no problem. The whole thing about it is if the people start getting used to being closed on some holidays where we can honor the true meaning of the holiday, I think that would be the greatest thing that our country would be getting back to. And also patriotism. Instead of always having an entertainer for the halftime shows on the at the Super Bowl, They should feature a major college or high school band and have them play patriotic music for a change and do the marching drills like the West Virginia College that did a marching sequence where it honored each of the divisions, the Coast Guard, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. It was absolutely beautiful, and it was over YouTube. Something like that would help bring this country back to what it used to be, a country of people who loved it and were willing to defend it. Right now, at my age, I would still be willing to go to war if it came about, but how many of these young kids, young adults, 20, 24 years old, would run and hide if we were invaded or they started dropping bombs on us? Everybody would be running, but still, how many of them would fight?
We have another caller here. The last four digits is 1086. Caller, can I get your name?
Yes, it's Taylor from New Orleans. How are you?
Hey,
New Orleans.
Fine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. What would you like to share with us today?
I disagree with the day almost entirely. My opinion on the day is quite a bit different from most. I don't think that we should be allocating a day. I don't think we should have to remember those who fought. In many ways, I find it almost degrading that we have a single day, that we have to mark it on our calendars to know to do it. To me, that speaks a little bit about how far removed we are from understanding what it really means to respect soldiers. For most Americans today, this is a day off, and little more. So even though we've only got one day in which to do this, for most people, they can't even they can't find it in themselves to do what would be considered truly honorable, truly remembering, in that one day. So
I agree with you on that point. That we
well,
have
we
so many
remember,
people that
we
do
were,
not, we have so many yeah, people right. that do not understand what Memorial Day is all about, and a lot of people don't even understand the sacrifice that those that we are honoring on Memorial Day have sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
We have young people,
we should be honoring these people every day, and
that's I agree with that. Right.
Right, and some of us do. So while we may take the Memorial Day as a time to reflect a little bit more on it, to actually emphasize it more and to say it out loud, there are definitely some of us out here who honor the troops every day, the fallen heroes every day. And I never forget about it. And, again, that's why I'm trying to get people to do something, working with this other group, the Arizona Sentinel group, to do something. we have to stand up for our rights after all these people have died over the years, many, many years they have died for us. So it's not about just one day. It's about the future, taking it day by day. Are you in the service? Have you been in the service? Are you a veteran?
Active duty in the Navy.
Well, thank you for your service. We definitely do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for your service. I was in the Navy 1953-57.
A very, very long time.
Long time before you were even a gleam in your dad's eye.
That's right.
Where are you at in New Orleans?
I'm actually stationed in Pensacola.
So. Oh, Pensacola. But you live in New Orleans?
I did for 20 years, but now I live here in Pensacola, and then hopefully in 4 or 5 months I'll live in Coronado, California for. A year, and then who knows from there.
So, oh, I see. Okay, you're a career man.
No, I'm not actually. Though I want to go special forces, I only want to do it for the 6-year minimum. Every day I'm, how do I word this? Every day that I'm in the Navy is a suffering for me.
Yeah.
Not in the sense that I don't want to be here, not in the sense that I don't want to do something truly great, not for my country. I don't necessarily think that I'm doing something for my country.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it, I'm going over there to make sure that those who are fighting get a chance to come home, to try and in some way have an impact. And that's why I want to join the community, which I'm sure you're aware of, that only exists out of Coronado, California. But I can't have a family. I can't have children. I mean, I can, yes, but really I can't. I would never put a woman I love through that kind of hardship, or would I raise a child I couldn't be there for. Some do, but it's my conviction that I never do that. So,
yeah, I understand.
I 6 years, and that's it.
Yeah, I understand. I did 4 years, and you really are tied down, and it's really difficult for you to get any kind of really real relationship going, because even with base housing, whatever it is, it's still not what you would probably want to provide for a family.
Right.
And then you never know where you're going to be. I understand all of that, too. But I'll tell you, you are going to be very proud of yourself after you leave the service, and you reflect back on it, because it took me a while after I got out at the age of 22.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while before I really realized the importance of what I had done just by being there and ready and willing to serve my country in war. I went in at the tail end of the Korean War, so I'm technically I'm a Korean vet.
Right.
But then,
well,
but then
I,
some,
I,
yeah, go ahead.
I would actually argue this. I would argue that while most people ought to remember what people have done, those who have tried, in every conflict, I would say this. I would say that no one should be, and I know I won't. You know, people will ask me, "What did you do in the Navy?" And I'll say, "You know, I'm a corpsman right now. I haven't gone to Coronado yet." So I'll say, "You know, I was a corpsman." I'll never say I was a SEAL, and I think that kind of humility has been lost. Too many, and don't forget this. This is something that I think is important for people to know. Too many people who serve today, and I'm sure this has been always the case, either while they're in the service or after, are without humility. Everyone who goes into and tries to get the free meals on you know, Memorial Day and things like that. And,
oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
And wear their uniforms everywhere they go so they can, you know, try and meet women or do this and that. Or the people who get out and say, you know, I did this. In fact, I know a person who has a spinal issue that really has a hard impact on his life. He refuses, absolutely refuses, on the basis of his own integrity, to get help from the VA. He refuses to rely on that because he says, you know, I went over, and I agree with this. You know, he says, I went there. I knew what could happen. I knew what I was doing, and I pay the consequences. I'm not going to let my country try and pay me back for what I did. That would defeat the purpose of it. So
he's a true honorable person.
I agree, he is.
Yep. So. Yep.
Well, let me ask you on that. So what? And that's what America used to be about, is that you do what you got to do, you get the job done, and you're not there standing with a handout for, you know, expecting everybody to take care of you all along. And that's been more true of our service people than anything else, the military. But at the same time, when you go put your life on the line and something does happen, obviously the medical care I think you're more than entitled to. You know, we need to give that respect. What do you think is what are you owed for a caring nation, a appreciative nation? What should we do for those when they come back who have other problems or have challenges, either be from injury or from the stress syndrome that happens and those type of things? Mm-hmm. What should we do for you?
You know, from me personally, I want nothing. I want nothing from my country for it. And I don't plan on staying in a career, so I won't be getting retirement or a pension or anything like that. I don't want anything. I would do this for free if I could, if I could live for free, but I can't. So, you know, what should you offer, though? Offering is different. Offering and accepting are two different things. You should offer, I would agree with medical care for those who've got true debilitating injuries. Now, you have some cases where you have someone who tears their bicep, you know, and it's not a very significant injury. And if they come back, they meet the president. They get $1,000 worth of Under Armour gear. All of these kinds of things. The Wounded Warrior Program does things like that. For those cases, you know, that really gets to me. You know, someone's getting something they don't deserve. But again, you can't always cover all those loopholes. So I say, you know, offer as much in the way of medical care as you can. But really, no one should be saying I'm entitled to this and that. You know, I actually am a corpsman right now at the hospital. I'm attached to the VA, and I hear so many people coming in saying, I'm entitled to this, I'm entitled to that, you know. And you're forgetting that you served, and you forget the meaning of the word serving, you know.
Right.
You're not getting anything out of it. You're serving a purpose. So to say you're entitled to something defeats. It's the same problem that I have with those who volunteer, saying, well, I'm trying to get as many hours as I can so I can get the award, and then it looks good on my eval, then I can get a promotion. Then you're not volunteering. You defeat the purpose of volunteering by expecting something out of it. And that's the problem with the military today, in my opinion. Too many people are joining because they want a free degree, because they want a paycheck and the economy is poor. Those are the people I want out of my Navy. Those are the people I want out of my military. So offer all you can, because people usually deserve it. If they deserve it, you'll know. But no one should ever be entitled to anything.
Very, very interesting, and this is it's great to hear. I definitely have appreciated you calling in, and please stay on. You're more than welcome to continue. I was going to ask you, have you been deployed to Iraq or any of that, or anywhere near there?
No. I've been in less for 2 years, and there was no overseas, there was no operational billets, there was no ship billets for me as a corpsman when I came out of school. So I went straight to a shore duty, which is unusual. And so I'm here in Pensacola for 2 years, and I don't plan on I may never see a ship, because I'm planning on going to Buds, and from there I'll most definitely be operational. So we'll see.
Okay. Now you're a corpsman, so you work in what, the infirmary or something like that?
I deal with the active duty. So there's sick call, there's immunizations, there's lab, all of that. It's a shore hospital, so. I mean, you can call it an infirmary. I guess that would be the word for it. But,
yeah.
I mean, really, we're just taking care of non-really life-threatening issues. I'm not in the ER or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like if somebody cuts themselves working on something like that, they come there and they need a couple of stitches or something like that, you got to
right,
take
yeah,
care of
it. Right,
yeah,
sutures and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we used to call it the infirmary or something like that when I was in the service in the 50s. And or a sick call, they'd call it on board ship. And we have the corpsman there, and that really is a worthy job description you have there, because a lot of that can sometimes lead to somebody becoming a doctor or a full-time, full-fledged nurse in private life.
Yeah, I originally wanted to be a doctor. In fact, when I was eight, I wanted to be a doctor and a pilot from the Air Force Academy. And there's a long story into why that didn't work out. But for me, even now, I thought about, I'm closer to being a doctor each day. Why not?
But yeah, how old are you now?
Well, I'm 21.
You're 21. With
correct.
All of the training you can get in through your GI while you're in the service,
they have those courses
that you can pay for it yourself, too. You don't have to take any freebies from anybody. And I'm saying you could get a lot of your book work done while you're in the service.
Well, I have college already. I have 40 hours from a year of college that I did.
Well, that's good.
Where I'm going, and you're familiar with the way that works, there's no time for college then when you're in that rate.
Right.
And not only that, but even becoming a doctor, let's say I get out 6 years from now, I'm 28 or 27, and I decide I want to go to med school, that's a long time. And I think that's almost as bad as being in the military in terms of the hours you're away from home, choosing your residency, all that kind of stuff. So.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to do, about another 6 to 8 years?
Right. So that's why I think I've decided that I don't want to do that. So.
Mm-hmm. But, you know,
what career do you think you'll pursue afterwards, or have you thought that far?
Oh, I have. I thought to the end. I think that there's pretty much anything that I want to do, I can do and be successful at it. I have that mentality. So I know I'm good at writing and good at speaking. Perhaps I could be a motivational speaker or writer. Perhaps I could pick up graphic design. I was good at that. There really are just an endless amount of things that I could do. So.
And along your medical field, I just knew somebody that was going for their doctor, and they decided they're going to change and become a physician's assistant, which
correct.
Requires a lot of school, but it doesn't require as much, and they don't have to worry about they get to do almost everything that the doctor does, almost.
Right.
But the thing is they don't have to worry about malpractice insurance and all of those different things.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And it's only about 3 years of schooling if I did that. So.
Right. You can do that. I'm just saying is, because you're already getting the stepping stones into that. My cousin was a dentist in the Army, and he became a full-fledged dentist when he came out, and a very good one.
Hey, I got a different question for you here. Especially again since it's Memorial Day. I'm kind of curious. Obviously, you're putting your life on the line as part of the service to take care of, to protect us and do what we need done. What do you think today, what is your opinion of what your government has become? Where do you find your frustration? Do you feel, are you disappointed? Are you proud? What is it that you think of what's happening in this country today since you're out there fighting to protect our rights?
I don't make the claim to be putting my life on the line each day. I would make that claim of a police officer, but not of myself.
But the truth is, if at some point you were called to be deployed, you would have
correct.
To do that as part of yes.
But I'm,
so
but
when
I'm
you
not,
find
and,
out,
and I want to make that clear that many of us aren't. In fact, many of us go out for 9 months and come back in, and we're on leave for a while before we go out again. But but a police officer, for instance. Does this every day and has a much higher risk of not coming home than I think a soldier does. I just want that to be apparent because many people thank me. So I just want that to be clear. To answer your question, I'm consistently disappointed in my country, not necessarily the government. The government is not this entity. It's not this evil, overbearing kind of cloud that you see in a movie. It's what we allow it to be. And I think that this country and these people, the majority of the people in this country, allow too much to happen, too much. Too many people are fascinated with just the most ridiculous, with Kim Kardashian and with these ridiculous fiascos that we see on the news every day. People are materialistic like nowhere else in the world that I've ever seen. And that really unnerves me. People are sheep. People are, in the majority of ways, are going to do whatever they think is cool And I have very much always been my own person. I don't drink. I've never been drunk or tipsy. I don't smoke. I refuse to have sex. I'm 21. I'm in the Navy. And I consider myself a fairly attractive man, and I'm a virgin by choice, and I'm not religious. You can't find that kind of conviction in this country anymore. You can't find that kind of integrity in people anymore. It's so unbelievably rare. And I say anymore, and I almost allude to maybe in the 50s and so forth, it was more prevalent. Man, people had it before. And, I mean, I like to think that, but maybe it was just as bad, because I remember where, you know, a woman was inferior to a man. And then before that, you know, a person of a different color or from a different country was inferior and was a beast. So I don't think that we've gotten better or worse, but we've never been where we should be. And I think that's a worldwide thing. I think people have never been where they should be. What I like about this country is that it's one of the most beautiful places. I thought about this the other day. You can go in so many different places in this country, and they're so different from one another. Whereas, you know, you think of somewhere like Russia, and you don't exactly have the most sandy paradises there, as well as the winter scapes. And I think that's beautiful. I think that there's such a variety of people, such a variety of ideas here. And I'm sure it exists elsewhere. I don't make that claim. I don't think we are the greatest country in the world, but I think we have the potential to be one of the greatest places in the world. And I wish we would get away from, in terms of government, democracy. Democracy says that 51% say this, and 49% of the country just got left unrepresented. That to me, that is a disgusting result. A republic is what was founded. It's what we kind of need to go back to. So that's my answer in short.
What do you think the role for the United States is in a global sense? You know, because I'm with you that we shouldn't be the police of the world and this kind of thing. I think we overstep our boundaries. Yeah. What's up?
I actually didn't say that we shouldn't be the police of the world. I said that we're not the greatest. In fact, I think that it's our duty, in fact, to be the police of the world in this sense, in the sense that we are capable, in the sense that our economy, even though people say it's in the down, we still have the ability to provide resources to people when natural disasters hit. We still have the ability to send troops over, and we have the amount of troops to send them over to interfere when we think that something is happening that shouldn't. In Afghanistan, for instance, in Iraq, you know, when you talk about the whole thing, when you really talk about it, Christopher Hitchens, one of my idols, talks about it, and he talks about how, you know, the rules on losing sovereignty are, you know, invading nearby countries, and he goes over the different rules, and he talks about how they invaded, they violated each one, and they gave up their sovereignty by doing these things, by harboring terrorists and things like that. Now, when you do things like that, I think it's the person who stands up and who says something or who does something which is to be regarded as being the good person. You know, if you have a bully in school, you know, beating the ever-living shit out of someone who can't stand up for himself, it's the man who comes over and says, hey, pick on someone your own size. And that's what I like to think that's what we do. And we may do it for the wrong reasons sometimes, and I don't condone that. But I think we tend to play that character because we, like I said, it's our duty to. We have the ability to. And as long as we have the ability to do anything but what we think is right is the worst cowardice, as Confucius says. So I do believe we are the ones. In fact, I think that if we didn't, I think that if we stir, and I've heard it before, when we don't intervene somewhere, people cry out, where is the U.S. now? You know, where are they? Why aren't they over here doing this? Because it has no interest in them, because there's no oil here or no money or nothing to be gained here. Where are they now? You know, so people complain if we don't show up, and people complain if we do. So I'd rather do something than not. So.
Well, I tend to sometimes think I'm not sure I follow the logic of when we do what we do. And unfortunately, this is me being a cynic of what our government has become, and I totally agree with you. This government is a reflection of what we, the people, have become, because it's been allowed to be a spoiled, spin-free, reckless government because we as a society have been spoiled and reckless in what we do. So I do believe this government is a very, very strong reflection of what our society has become. If you had a question or a comment, whatever, for the President of the United States or for whoever your senator or representative may be, if there's anything you could ask them or tell them, what would you want to see them do, or what would you think of? I know I'm putting you on the spot there.
I'm choosing my words carefully only because I don't know where this conversation will end up. And, respectfully, I'll say, I would ask to rethink their position. I don't agree with the idea of someone running the military who's never served in it. I don't believe experience matters. I don't think that you really need to experience something to understand it, no more than I would ask you to murder someone before you can make a law about murdering. But I would say that you really need to, I would make it a requirement that you really need to have some time in the service before you can. To me, it just seems silly. It's like asking someone who's never been a mechanic before to run Ford. That's actually a really poor analogy. But I hope you get my point. And when it comes to the president themselves, I think it doesn't need to be a politician. There's a man in the chat room named American Statesman. And American Statesman, that's what we need. And more than a statesman, even, I believe it was Aristotle or Plato, I'm not sure which one, who said a philosopher king. That is what's needed. Someone not who has these stances and who are rigid on them, but someone who has a mindset, a way of thinking, and a way of perception of problems, who will always approach them from a certain way. So you don't have someone who has specific stances on ideas, but you have someone who has a specific way of doing things. There's no real way to test for this, I don't think, but that's what we need, someone who's really about solving problems instead of about wearing a red or a blue flag and saying I'm on this side or this side. That's what we need to get away from, those political parties who put people into voting booths, who say, you know, all red or all blue, and that's it, I'm done. I don't know what I voted for or who I voted for, but God damn it, I'm a Republican or I'm a liberal. You know, that's what we need to get away from.
And, party politics. Get away from the party statesman. Politics.
Statesman is where it's at. But the problem with that is that a statesman rarely has the kind of funding that a politician does. They haven't been raised from the age of five to be a politician like most politicians are. They haven't been bred for it. So politicians are bred to win the appraisal of people. Statesmen simply have conviction, and conviction rarely wins majority rule. It rarely wins the popular vote. No one in high school was ever popular because they were good men. It was because they had threw the best parties.
I got one question for you.
Go ahead.
How did you find us?
I stumbled upon you.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you did. Because it's
been
very interesting.
He's preaching exactly what American Statesman is all about. Because a politician works for the next election, no values. A statesman works for the next generation, which is part of true core values and principles. And that is why this country is dying. If we don't change our ways, if we don't get back to some core values, I just don't see how long we're going to last. I really don't. I fear for the future.
And also, there's one thing that I caught in when you were talking there. You said a lot of people are sheep. Mm-hmm. Sally's favorite statement when she's doing this show is she calls the people, we are the too many people are the sheeple. They're always being led around by their elected officials, and they're just the sheeple. They have no idea what is really going on in this country. And then you mentioned the word sheep, and I darn near started laughing right at that time because it was so close to what she was saying, and her the two of you actually hit on the right thing, so that's good.
That is exactly it. We have become we the sheeple. You know, it's we're supposed to be we the people. We've become we the sheeple. We've been controlled and manipulated by the political parties, which I don't know if you heard us talking at the beginning about we the people versus the ballot box. But that's exactly what it's about.
Well, I would disagree with that, actually. I don't think that we've been manipulated or controlled by anyone. I think, in fact, a lot of times people will, you know, I have conversations about many things. And it rarely, actually, believe it or not, rarely, it's never about politics. Usually about life, you know, about being a father or or love and things like that. I usually have conversations about life. And I'm not a father, but again, experience doesn't matter to me. So, but when I talk about those things, a lot of times people will say, "Oh, I was raised this way," and well, some people are raised differently. No one can ever be raised. No one ever can ever be taught to be the man or woman which they are. Everyone has their own choice. I was raised in a conservative, Republican, Catholic family who had the idea of, you know, I'm the eldest, you need to respect your elders, and, you know, don't question me, et cetera, et cetera. And one could argue that I became so different in almost every facet because of that. But if I had turned out just the same, it would still be argued that it was a result of that. So, no, I don't think that anyone can ever be taught, manipulated, or anything. They can only allow themselves, just as we allow the government to be what it is, they can only allow themselves to become what they are. They can see the good and the bad and choose which ones to emulate. But it's on them. At the end of the day, it's always going to be on that person. So.
Well, I'll agree and I'll disagree to a certain point there, because we have the dumbing down of people to withhold, you know, as Americans, you know, we didn't believe in censorship and these kind of things, and that lack of censorship gave us the ability to learn a lot on our own. But at the same time, truly, if you never teach a child to read, a person can learn to read on their own. But if you never teach that child to read, you have made a great, given them a very big disadvantage, much to overcome. And I think being able to read is one of the biggest things you have to know to be able to do whatever you want to do, communicate, being able to learn and go forward. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, well, go ahead. I was just going to say that there are so many who do actually, and you alluded to this, who do actually teach themselves to read or learn to read. And it's those people who, you know, you have 10 children and none of them are taught to read, but one of them chooses to teach himself to read or to teach herself to read. And that one, it speaks something about the character of that person. You know, at the youngest age, even at 5, we're aware of everything going on. I became Buddhist when I was 8. You know, we forget how aware we are even as children, how really aware we are of everything around us. And so I think even that example, you know, being taught to read, those who lack education or who are forbidden it, and usually if they are the kind of person who has that perseverance, they will find it. And good on them, because those are the people we want to have the education or the ability to read, so that they can have the ability to use that perseverance elsewhere and persist to better things. So
Can be. Yeah, and you know, I happen to know from my own personal experience and from others that I know that just like you can take a child that has a parent that's a drug addict, and the child has definitely got a disadvantage. And if the child isn't fed right, you know, you can't truly expect a child, especially in this environment today, this society today, very hard for a child to go out and truly get their own food. Or not be abducted and abused if they go outside. I mean, you can't hardly pick an orange off a tree anymore and these types of things to do anything to sustain yourself. So if a child is not properly nourished, and there's different things that do impact in that process of raising that child and that responsibility. I've frequently made the joke, and I mean, I'm saying this as a joke, but I'm also saying it as a purpose. You know, humans, while we're supposed to be the most intelligent on this planet, at times I think we're the most ignorant or something, because we're the only ones on this planet that have to be told where babies come from. And I've never seen never thought of a polar bear going for a Lamont class to figure out how to have a baby. So there's times when I kind of think, you know, humans need to be taught much more than what other animals are. Other animals do things instinctively and survive. A human, a child, if that child is just put out there, even after 3 or 4 years or whatever, it's not going to probably survive totally on its own. It's a whole different environment. And so there is a little bit difference there. But I do believe a person is born with a certain will, whatever the gift is that the great creator, that God gave them. And some will be the sheeple. They're instinctively going to be a follower. There's those that are the leaders. George Washington was a natural-born leader. He just knew how to lead people, and that's just the way he was. But there are many who are not that kind of leadership. And I would dare say 95-plus% of those who are in Congress today are not leaders. They do not lead. They are followers. They follow whatever they are told by the public or the Republican Democrat Party establishment. They do not represent us. They do not meet. They do not do the people's work. They are self-serving and gaming the system against us. They're a bunch of used car salesmen in to that respect.
Right. Are you familiar with Beethoven, his upbringing?
A little, but you could definitely give me a refresher course.
Just a pure abuse, almost every day, pure abuse. And through that, and through being deaf and all of that, and just every obstacle he had to overcome, he did, and makes the most beautiful music that continues to be beautiful to this day, even as a child. And I think that in itself speaks so much that you can do everything to push someone down. You can do everything to hurt someone, and yet you cannot inflict the melody of their soul. That is what I think of when I think of Beethoven and the music that he made. And when you talk about humans and the intelligent, I think that we're advanced, but I think that we I really believe humans to be just another animal. I really think that we are. I've seen too much from dogs, which I often say I love more than I love people, because of their true unconditional. That is true unconditional love. To be beaten when he could bite your hand off easily and break it and crush it within his teeth, and yet he doesn't. Or to see the monkeys, the capuchin monkeys, in fact, who are so advanced. Their vocabulary exceeds hundreds of words. They're able, in fact, to warn the community at once with a certain noise, which to them is just a word, when a snake is in the water, so that everyone jumps out the water and jumps into the trees. And some capuchins have even been recorded saying it when there's no snake nearby, so that when everyone jumps away, they can steal the food, or they're tricking each other. They're mentally cognizant of what they're doing. So I think that we're just starting to understand how little we really know. And I think that is one of the most important things that is lost in our country. No one is willing to take the Socratic path. No one wants to question anything anymore, as Socrates so famously did. You know, even when he agreed with something, he questioned it. Why do I do it? Why do we do it? Why do you do it? And people hate that. People hate when you question them. And so many times it's because they don't have an answer. And if you don't have an answer to why you're doing something, then you probably shouldn't be doing it, or you should at least figure out why. So I think that's one of the biggest problems with both our government and our people, is the inability for one to question each other. So.
Yeah, we've become a society of bobbleheads, as I call it, where you just you don't challenge anything. You don't come up, you don't question what you're doing. Well, you never move forward if you just keep the status quo. You just
Correct.
Say, yep, that's the way we've always done it mentality, and then not to challenge or question why do we do this. I think Jefferson was probably one of the main founding fathers that were out there really pushing to always question. And I believe it was Reagan who said, trust but verify. But, you know, you always must question. You will never move forward if you accept things as they are today without question. There's no
question. Right, Thomas Jefferson. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Thomas Jefferson is actually responsible for one of my favorite quotes in regarding to how you should live your life. He said, and he's one of my favorite men, and certainly my favorite founding father. And he said, in matters of style, swim with the current, and in matters of principle, stand like a rock. If we were to just abide by that simple phrase, by those few words, I think so much more could be done, because the opposite is being done now. In matters of style, everyone's, you know, either fighting over it. There's actually people who kill each other because of the clothes they wear, and so forth. And no one's paying attention to the principles. Everyone's out for themselves. They're out for pleasure. They don't understand what joy is. Everyone thinks a one-night stand is where it's at, instead of a lifetime's conversation with the woman or man whom you love. Really, we've gotten away from principles. So.
Let me tell you, just for those that are listening on the internet, it's going to discontinue in just a couple of seconds, but we're going to keep talking for another 5 or 10 minutes here to kind of finish this up. I see that Nathan has called in, and he may have a question for you. Nathan was talking earlier, so let's go ahead and have Nathan chime in. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Sally. I was just listening to what you guys were saying, and a couple of things popped in my mind for whatever they're worth. Listen, on leaders are not born, they're cornered. Okay, and it doesn't matter at what level, but they're cornered, and then they get to prove themselves. None of these people up there were cornered. They got up there because somebody else liked them, and the group decided to endorse them. Okay, part of the people's problem is we've been taught to put the emphasis on our freedom to choose rather than making choices that produces freedom, okay? And the reason for that is anytime we have an experience, this is human nature, anytime you have an experience, you automatically have an emotional attachment to your experience no matter how good or bad it is, and it's hard to let go of it. Or any knowledge you learn is hard to let go of it when someone shows you something that contradicts it. Our experience with that emotional attachment makes it hard for someone to be told that, for instance, this is not the way what the Constitution says, or this is not what the Bible says if you're religious. Once we've been taught it, it is hard because this is why it's all about challenging the mind, getting people, and sometimes sometimes the mind has to be shocked. It's kind of like the lady I know that said her husband, was a kid. He was a kid. He just wants to hang out with his friends and play like a kid, and she wanted to get his attention, so one day he came home and his key didn't fit the door. He rung the doorbell, and she opened the door with a key and says, "Look, we got to talk." It took that to shock him and get his attention, and then he heard what she said, what she had to say, and they were able to move forward. But if you got to reach his mind, most of us, not in this generation, have been trained to sit down, and listen to each other, and especially if we listen to each other, if we agree with each other, then we're not really hearing each other. Yeah, I know that. There's no need sitting here hashing this out. But if I disagree with you, then, it's easy for me to just reject what you're saying because not try what it is I believe. That's the key. That's the whole key to this whole American experiment is to challenge they just have the longest fuss in America or in human history, and in that fuss, get to the answers or the best answers, but this is what. But you see, that human nature has been fed. It's like you give a bunch of kids candy and just let them live however they want, and then one day you got problems, health problems, teeth problems. But if you make your kids eat their vegetables and get the sleep they need, and guess what? One day when they eat candy, it's a treat, and it's not something that's destroying them. And that's what a lot of our policies have been towards the family, towards our economics, just so many things creating emotional needs in us. I did something, and I'm gonna stop on this one. I did something a while back, quite a while back. I went and I looked at a special It was on the life of Charles Manson, and this was neat. Charles Manson was born to an unwed pregnant teenager that was in and out of crime. I think he was born in jail. Then he spent his whole life in and out of orphanages and foster homes, and he kept saying throughout this thing, all he ever wanted was a family. His followers all came from middle-upper-class family, educated. Some of them were actually from famous families. They were the ones that followed this guy, if you're going to follow anybody, why would you follow a street punk, right? But they all got from him something that they thought they did that they didn't get from their parents and the upbringing that most of us would die for. And what the problem was, and this is what I see happening in our culture, and it's real strong in politics. Charles Manson was a psychotic. and his followers were neurotic. And here's a good way to remember the difference between it, the two. Psychotics build castles in the sky, and neurotics live in them, and psychiatrists collect the rent. Okay? Our politicians keep planning. They're telling us about vote for me, especially the Republican Party. We know the Democrats are honest. Okay? But they're telling us vote for me, and they're reaching not our minds but our hearts. Okay, once you like Sarah Palin, I can't disagree with you because you're going to scratch my eye because you got that emotional attachment. But once they've got your heart, guess what? You want to vote for them, and you believe we need to get organized to beat the Democrats because they have the best, they have the best future for America. And you know what? They're just like Charles Manson. The future they have bought into themselves, and there's no wisdom to it, and it's going to lead us where we don't want to go. That's my opinion, and I approve of it, but I'm enjoying y'all's conversation.
Well, thank you, Nathan, as always. Any comments on that?
I'll say that I do with what he's saying, especially in terms of the challenging. I think that's the whole point. I think life is conflict. Life is challenging each other. Living by that Socratic method. I would most certainly agree with that. But when you talk about, you know, when you talk about him and Charles Manson's upbringing, again, I still believe it was on him. It was on him.
Yeah, I agree. It's on him. But what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is his need. His biggest need was to have a family, and he created that family. And we all do this. You know, there's people, I heard a radio preacher last night say that his radio guest and the people in his chat room, he's found them to meet, be more family than his friends and the people in his church. And it's like, that sounds disturbing that he feels more closer to these people that ain't really in his life other than over machines. And it's like he's you know, this is where the whole pornography issue is a guy doesn't has a problem with intimacy with his, not just his wife, and we're not talking about just sexual intimacy, but having real communication with his wife and his children and his friends, but he's got this secret life that is all a fantasy on the internet or in magazines. And you see, there's a disconnect with people there. And that's what I'm saying about a psychotic. Psychotic always builds a world that is the world they wanted. And nothing wrong with that. We all need to set goals and try to have a better life than we had in our home growing up. There's nothing wrong with that. But he created what he wanted in a perverted way. And the people who responded to him, you would think, would have more sense. Now, this is what I don't understand. I run into people and I know people that in everyday life they're successful. They've accomplished a lot. I mean, these people, some of them have done stuff very few people in the world. I mean, I would trust my life with them. But then when it comes to politics, well, we got to vote for Mitt Romney because we got to get Obama out of there. And you can't tell them, have you looked at Mitt Romney's record? And then when you put it in front of it, and see that he is Obama's record politically. They're the same policies. All of a sudden, it's like this glazed look comes over their eyes like they're in a trance. Or they either get mad and just say, I don't want to talk about it. They've accepted something that they refuse to reject. But yet, you see, what is it that this politician, or they bought into that we've got the Republicans got to beat the Democrats, but guess what? It's hard to let them hear it. It's hard for them to hear. The Republicans have given us nothing but a fat pacifier that doesn't. Listen, my nephew's 12, but when he was 3, I could go over to his house, and if I tried to leave, he would cry. I mean, and it would break your heart. So what they would do is they would get either a toy or a candy or a treat, and hey, come on, Brandon, and they would run off in the other room. He'd follow them. They got his attention, and he was able to follow them in there and get something else accomplished so I could get out of there, right? Well, that's what the Republicans are doing to the voters, but the problem is we're not getting the goodies. all these, I got a whole list of stuff that comes to my mind that they keep bringing back up that they've never given us. And they're not going to give it to us. It's not their policy. But because we want the border secure, we want to put our kid in the school of our choice. We want the vouchers that we pay into that goes through the school to come to us so we can go to the school of our choice. And you know, the reason they don't want to do that, a lot of these failing schools in these bad neighborhoods would dry up because of people want to give their family, their children, a better life than what the politician is providing with. But why do we keep thinking, I hear these Republicans talking about, amnesty. Well, we can't do no amnesty, but the Republicans are the ones that are pushing the amnesty, you know? And the Republicans are the ones that's building these rails across the country that everybody's screaming at Obama for, but they were building these rails across the country in the mid 90s. This is a spring off from this is NAFTA policy, which was Republicans. This is and yet every time we're building this rail here in Florida that we've voted down three or four times. Well, man, you know, I'm tired of Obama. I'm like, what do you mean, tired of Obama? What for? Because he's trying to push this rail system. This rail's been getting voted in or tried to get sold off to us way before Obama even came into our minds. And it's the Republicans that are doing it, like John Micah, Webster, you know, all these same people. And it's like, why can't you tell these people? You know, they're talking to our hearts and not to our minds.
They have definitely brainwashed us, and this is where this goes back to the education. I do, in the overall scheme of things, there has been a dumbing down of Americans, and goes back to the basic culture of what human beings are: gullible, willing. They just want whatever they want. We've done major brainwashing of the me syndrome. It's all about me. You're number one. Do whatever it takes, and these kind of things. So,
well, you see what they did with that.
Yeah.
They did right there with the me. It's all about me. It's all about what's my happiness. Hedonism pumped into our minds in the 60s. Okay, they pumped hedonism. It's all about you being happy. You know, if you want to leave your wife or your husband, just because it's all about you being happy. Don't think about the effect of the kids on this thing. You know, just do what makes you happy. And now we have a large part of culture that never matured, and it's a depression, kind of like a kid that wants his own way, and he'll fall on the floor and cry and scream, and then you'll give in just to shut him up. Well, we got adults that are doing that, not in the same way, but they're, you know, that lack of maturity that produces a depression is there, and all you got to do is just, you know, if you vote for Sarah Palin or vote for the guy that Sarah Palin endorses, because she gets up there like a sister with an attitude, and we fall in love with her because we like her. Well, guess what? She started out just like one of us, and she's got a home that's paid for, and she's got a mansion down in Phoenix, and she's just living the good life. Okay, she's got a place at the table. She broke out of down here because she's a marketing genius. But you know what? Wasilla, that none of the Republicans will talk about whenever she was a VP choice, or even now that we're in a bad economy, when she became the mayor of Wasilla, they had absolutely no debt. But because she came in there and she was being innovative, and she's going to do something wonderful and build a little sports stadium, well, a big sports stadium in a little small hick town. Now these people are strapped to their ears in debt trying to figure out how to pay it. But she's moved on with her life, and if anybody's got something bad to say, they get squelched out. But if someone says something that celebrates Sarah, we've done these politicians the way we do Hollywood. They put them in front of us to celebrate, and that's what celebrity means. We are celebrating these people like it's idol worship. And, you know, I say this. They're going to stand up there and tell me lies, and I can confirm it by their record. Don't tell me I'm being rude by calling them a liar. Because you know what, where I live, if I tell people lies, I lose my credibility. They don't want to have nothing to do with me. And my job, because of security clearances, if I get caught with a lie, they're going to say, you know, this guy's in the wrong job for this. You know, and they're going to let me go. You know, they're just, but don't work. It don't work down here at the bottom. It messes you up. But up there, they get away with it because they are in control of the voice.
That is so true. And again, I made the comment or comparison. That's like a bunch of used car salesmen. You know, people say it would complain and everything else, outcry of what a used car salesman. They'll tell you anything to get you to buy that car. They'll tell you it's going to get 200 miles a gallon, and you're. And at the same time, the buyer, the voter, is gullible enough to believe it. So, and that's really the mentality.
Well, this
of,
is the thing about the used car, and one thing they did with the Tea Party movement. As soon as the Tea Party sprung up, and it was neat, they sprung up all across the country. They were founded mostly by women. There's a couple men that broke the rule. But most of the Tea Parties were women that sprung up, started Tea Parties all across the country. And before this thing ever got started, there was buses rolling across the country. No way could these locals be able to organize like that. That was the Republican Party. And then they start getting the Tea Party groups and getting their email list and trying to get communication going to send information on the issues, but it's all GOP issues. They got this...
Yeah.
What do you call it? All these grassroots groups that are so organized to lock in the local groups because they understand something. If they can, I don't get into anything real fast. You see a cause and you want to jump into it and you become a part of the group. And next thing you know, this is that experience things. Once they get you into an experience, you know, like, listen to this. Here's a good example. You, if you get converted to a certain religion, they want you to stand up and say, I believe the Bible. I believe in these doctrines, and you don't even know them. And you're going to make a vow to these things. You're going to say, I believe something you don't even understand. No. You're making a vow to something you don't even know what you're making a vow to. Go get into it and learn it. But don't just jump into experience and blindly accept anything, because what this does is once you've experienced it, it doesn't matter how good or how bad it is, once you've experienced it, you got an emotional attachment. It's a part of who you are in your soul. And once you've done that, it's hard to say, hey, I disagree with that, you know. And that's the whole thing. That's why that guy that knocks on your door and wants to sell you a vacuum cleaner, he doesn't want to give you a list of facts about it. He wants to come in and vacuum one corner of your room so you can look at this corner of the room and see the rest of the room still dirty. And then he wants to go in and suck something out of your bed to show you what you're breathing on while you're sleeping. You know, once he's engaged you in that experience, it's hard. It makes it hard to say, no, I don't want to buy this, you know. But
right.
No. Learn as much as you can intellectually before you start jumping into an experience. And they'll say, well, we need somebody to jump in. I had a guy tell me this recently. We need people that can get in, get on board, and help carry the load. And I said, well, what's the load? Getting Mitt Romney. Nope, I'm not interested. See,
yeah.
But he'll tell me I'm not doing anything but sitting on my butt criticizing people. And I said, yeah, but you know what? I'm not committed to something I don't believe. That is what the word believe means. I believe it enough
blind
to act
faith.
On it.
Blind faith. In the sheeple. They want sheeple who will just do as they are told to do with blind faith, with no mentality at all.
I know a lot of this stuff is old information, but it needs to be reminded in people's mind, because we have, you know, listen, it's a short memory. It's the reason why we don't have resolve. Every time... You know, they'll bring up an issue. I'm hearing these people say, well, if Romney needs to start saying this, he's got to sound conservative. Well, if he sounds conservative, why would I vote for a guy that says the things I want to hear, but I know he's not going to do them because he hasn't done them? Now, let the man stand in front of me, hang his head in shame, and say, you know, I was wrong about these policies. I'm sorry, but... and you know, I learned a lot, and you know, and if I could see some humility in it, but you know what? He ain't talking about it. The GOP radio ain't talking about it. They're just ignoring it and telling us about how bad Obama is. See, they're deceiving us, and I'm not going for it.
Well, let's see here. Doreen is out here. I want to see if she wants to wants to place any other comment, because we're about to wrap it up here. We're actually running a little bit over. So, Doreen, was there any other comments you wanted to add in there before we wrap this up for tonight? And she's I'm watching the chat room to see if she says anything out there or if she wants to hit the button. Here she goes. Yep.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm making myself cool down here, so I won't say something I'll regret later. And in one sense of the word, I understand what your caller, not the service person that called, but the person that was just speaking, I kind of understand why he feels like he does about the Tea Party. But you know what? I'm going to tell him like I tell everyone else. The Tea Party is not a party. We're not. And by we, I mean me and a lot of other people I know that belong to the Tea Party train of thought. We do not belong to the Republican Party. Yes, we have to vote on a party. We, in order to be able to vote, we have to say that we believe in a party. But I, in my heart, and I know I'm not the only Tea Partier out there that feels this way, I believe in what the Tea Party started out to stand for. I believe in wanting to bring the Republic back to this country. I believe that we need to kick every one of those crooked so-and-sos out of the White House up there. I don't care what party they're in. I also believe that the Republican Party hoodwinked the Tea Partiers. They were silly. They didn't know how to vet a candidate. They didn't know. They wanted, like they have always done prior to the Internet, believed in what fell out of those people's mouths, including Boehner. But they have woke up. And those that haven't, those of us that have, we are teaching them. Do not deface the Tea Party. It is a movement that is finally waking this country up.
Well,
and that's all I got to say.
You do know that we had a bunch of Tea Party Republicans that got reelected. Tea Party Republicans that got reelected in 2010. And in the Senate, 93% of the Senate keeps voting with Obama.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Tea Partiers do not know how to vet a candidate. And the majority of those people who do not know how to vet a candidate are older than me. But we are educating them. You can no longer take a person's word, and I don't care what party they belong to. You have to give them some hard questions. You don't ask them to come to you and give you a speech of what it is they want you to believe they believe, because it's all hogwash.
Yeah, but we don't have time to educate them. This is what I've said, and I've said it, and I'll say it again a bunch of times. 2010, I was saying this in 2010. 2010 is the year of the people or the year of the slave, and that might end up possibly being true. I hope I'm wrong.
How can you not have time to educate people on how to choose a good candidate to run for office? That's like sitting back and saying, I don't want to get involved.
Well, whenever the Tea Party first
sprang
up.
Hey, excuse me, Nathan, let me go ahead and chime in something here. Because on one part, what Nathan is saying about the Tea Party parties haven't been hijacked by the GOP, I believe is true. Myself, I'm a true Tea Partier. I am a no-party affiliate. I can't stand the two political parties. I think on my own. I'm not going to do what they say. Unfortunately, too many of the Tea Party groups have been taken over by a bunch of Republicans. That is, unfortunately, a sad fact. Now, when it comes to the education part, I believe what Nathan is saying, and Nathan, you can correct me, is we're going against, you got all these GOP establishment people who are brainwashing and doing their own tricks to try to educate the Tea Partiers to think the way they do, while there's us out there trying to tell them what a real Tea Partier is, and do we have enough time, and are there enough of us out there to overcome the crap that we're getting from the GOP? I mean, that's kind of my take on that.
Yeah, well, what happened, Sally, what would you say her name was? Nancy?
Doreen.
Doreen, what happened is when the Tea Party people rose up in 2009, a large part of this group were people that were non-political. They never voted before. They didn't follow politics. And as soon as they got involved, and thank God, I always say the sleeping giant woke up and the Republican Party was right there teaching them what they needed to know. All of a sudden, these people that never listened to talk radio is listening to talk radio, and talk radio is telling them that Marco Rubio, Webster, and Micah are Tea Party conservative candidates, and they bought into it, and there was thousands of candidates across the country, citizen candidates. A lot of people, a lot of them had something to offer, and they got ignored. Here in Florida, on the Marco Rubio, there was 23 people running for Senate. And if you talk to the average person that walked into the booth, all they had heard was Rubio, Meeks, and Crist, because there was a whole bunch of these candidates that could not get into either media. They were on the internet sending emails around trying to get somebody to help get them an interview. But the talk radio put out there that we're the conservatives, we're the ones that's going to save America, and they bought it. They're like that guy that jumped and bought the first car from the first salesman that jumped in front of him, and it's a clunker. And that right there is probably why, when even if Obama does get kicked out in a few months, you know, we're going to find out what kind of Sharia contracts he's got us in around the country, around the world. And then when we try to get out of it, I don't care who you got up there, these people will go to war if you decide you don't want to keep his contract, his Sharia commitments of paying money and all these other Sharia taxes. And then, you know, this, no, we're possibly, we're going to go through some very serious suffering that our mind could never have imagined before.
I don't disagree with some of what you're saying, but I am not one that can sit back and say I don't have time to teach people.
I have time to teach.
Because for every 20 that I talk to and every 20 that I show a new process, a new way to vet a candidate, which does not portray a candidate standing up and feeding me with hogwash, if I convert only 3 people out of 20 to a new way, then I have done something.
I am not going to sit back and say there is no way we don't have time.
No, I thank you
for doing reaching those 3 people. But you know what? For every 3 people you reach, talk radio is listening not to 20 or 17. They're reaching millions of people that is what they know for politics. That is their education. These people ain't reading the Constitution. When Rush Limbaugh says, you know, that's unconstitutional, he doesn't read or quote it. So, you know, we don't know. We don't know from them. We don't know the Constitution. And these people fall right in line doing, sincerely wanting to save their country. And whenever they tell you that we need to vote for this guy because he's the best one, we got this guy out here, they're trying to save Scott Walker, okay? Listen, if you got a race that is razor thin, okay, and you're going to try to recall this guy and there's a chance that he might get recalled, or if it's a razor thin, you ain't getting much difference between either candidate. If there was a big difference, it would be a slam dunk. I promise you.
And we're going to have to kind of wrap it up here. We have actually gone about almost 30 minutes over, and it should still be recording, even though on the live party.
God, I talk more than a woman, don't I?
No, this has been great. This has been an excellent discussion. And I'll give one last thing with Doreen here. It's like we're the ones taking the time to train these people and to educate them. The question is, can we do it fast enough? And I always go back to, thank God it only takes a minority, a small minority, to make a difference. We have so many sheeple, the 80% factor of the sheeple out there, that we still can make a difference, but we are obviously fighting a massive establishment. That's why we have the complaint out there, we the people versus this ballot box establishment. So I have faith that we can do it, but it's not going to be an easy task. So I'll give you one last comment, and then we're going to wrap it up for tonight.
Well, I always like a good debate, and I don't think there's been any winners or losers here tonight. We all have our own opinion, and we're all entitled to it. And I believe we will all fight for our country in our own way.
That is exactly it, and that's the perfect wrap-up on this Memorial Day. Thank you for tuning in. Please tune in to Wednesday night, because Wednesday night we're going to give the update on the Take Back America this Memorial Day. And then on Thursday we have the first GO candidate who's going to be interviewed on American Statesman, and his name is Byron Donald, and that's going to be fun too. And this has been an excellent show. The gentleman from the service, he has dropped off. He dropped off a little bit earlier. Thank you so much. That was a very interesting conversation. We enjoyed that discussion as well. And thank God for our troops. God bless America, and God bless our troops. And we will talk to you folks next time. Have a good night.
Good night.
Night, all.
Good night.